You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, The Onion, a satirical newspaper founded here in Wisconsin, is known for bending the truth in hilarious ways. One of its founding editors tells us how The Onion can endure at a time when there's so much real fake news around.
First, White House leaks have become a regular occurrence in the Trump administration. The latest leaks fueled the resignation last night of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, who was revealed to have discussed sanctions with Russia's ambassador to the U.S. before President Trump took office. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin weighed in this morning on Fox News.
Leaks of this nature are incredibly damaging to America, to our national security, and we need to look into it.
President Trump says he's ordered an internal investigation to find out who's behind leaks of his phone calls to world leaders and national security information. He stated on Twitter this morning, quote, "The real story here is why are there so many illegal leaks coming out of Washington?"
SV Date joins us now. He's a senior White House correspondent for the Huffington Post. He recently wrote about leaks and why the ones coming out of the Trump White House are unique. SV, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, let's tackle the president's question first. Why are there so many leaks coming out of Washington?
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? All presidential administrations, particularly new ones, have leaks. That's a given. But what we've noticed this time around is that, the types of leaks are a little bit different. I mean, in the past, you have staffers who want to get a leg up on each other, you know, leaking about why the other person is not so good. Or you might have people who've been there a while thinking that a new policy is going to be just really bad, and so they might put out a leak about that, trying to stop it. This is the first time I can remember that there are leaks that go to the competence of the actual president, the commander-in-chief. And the leaks, that those are the kind of leaks we're seeing now that are really kind of different. They're suggesting that maybe President Trump just isn't up to the job.
And journalists are going to these unnamed sources, anonymous sources. Tell us about the relationship we're seeing with anonymous sources. And do reporters keep going back to the same unnamed sources?
Oh, absolutely. And oftentimes we'll not try to use, you know, even a direct quote of what they say in print or on the air or whatever. We just want to know what's going on. That's probably the biggest benefit we get from them. But I think a key here is I would not use an unnamed source unless I fully understood that person's position and why he or she wants to remain anonymous. And usually it's to protect their jobs. And if a choice between making the mortgage payment and being quiet, you know, and not getting the information out, they'll choose what's safe and hold on to the paycheck. I get that. So, you know, we try to understand the motivations of why people are leaking.
Yeah, and we as readers or consumers of this news, these sources are anonymous. There's no way of really knowing the political motivation of the leaker. Should we be concerned about this?
Generally speaking, you should try to use more critical thinking about these sort of leaks. Now, what I try to differentiate are leaks of fact and leaks of opinion. I try basically never to let people have an opinion and say this person is not that smart or just, you know, doesn't understand this stuff or whatever. But if they can give me a discrete, concrete thing that has happened, whether I can independently confirm it from that person or, you know, from colleagues or not, at least that is a tangible event that has occurred as opposed to merely an opinion. And that's kind of the line that I draw.
Let's look at, for a moment, the tangible things that came out of the leaks on Michael Flynn's resignation as National Security Advisor last night. We know that reporters at the Washington Post, the New York Times, and other outlets spoke with these anonymous sources about Flynn's dealings with a Russian diplomat. Can you explain how this leak snowballed and how these anonymous sources broke through this story?
Right. Well, the Mike Flynn one now is a kind of a different sort of animal than the one that I dealt with in the story that I had. My story and some other stories that have come out, you know, spoke about little events, vignettes about the president dealing on the phone with the foreign leaders, say, or you know, some of his people describing phone calls in the middle of the night, things like that. Last night's story was very different. That was basically the leak of an official report that had been given the White House by the Justice Department that said X, Y, and Z, that Michael Flynn had made these phone calls with the Russian ambassador, that he'd spoken about sanctions, even though he said later that he did not, and that the report was given to the White House on this date. Now, those are all not only provable facts, but the report exists, not just in the White House, but also in the Justice Department. So that made it a very different kind of thing. And basically what it said was the White House was going to do nothing with this, and it only became an issue for them when that story made it plain to the public that this report had actually been turned over weeks ago.
So it was leakable, so to speak.
Exactly. I mean, and that's a much easier thing to nail down when there's an actual document that exists. Eventually, it'll come out under FOIA and, the Freedom of Information Act. And so, you know, that's something that is very hard for an administration to just kind of try to push under the carpet. And that's why we saw them act very quickly, starting Friday and then going through the weekend, when in cases of other leaks, they've really not moved at all.
We're talking with S.B. Datta. He's a senior White House correspondent for the Huffington Post, talking about White House leaks and under the Trump administration, what makes them different. President Trump said there is an investigation underway into where the leaks are coming from, but does he really want to figure it out? Because you could argue, S.B., that these leaks are a useful distraction to the other dealings inside the White House.
Yeah, the president doesn't need any help in creating distractions. I mean, he'll do 10 of them a day, just 5 of them just from his tweets. So I don't know if that's really necessary for him. But I think they badly want to know so they can try to maybe fire them or threaten these people into shutting up. Because, most of these leaks actually go to the competency of the president and whether he is capable of doing this job or not. And clearly, they would prefer that those things don't get leaked.
Do you think behind these leaks it's the same rogue staffers coming out here, or is this something much bigger?
No, this is a little different. I mean, usually the best source of leaks in a new administration are those career staffers who remain behind in the various agencies and departments. In this case, we're seeing those, of course, but then we're also seeing things from within the White House itself. And now within the White House, not across the courtyard in the executive office building, but within the White House itself, those are generally speaking people who have just come in with the president, and yet we're seeing these type of leaks. That's kind of interesting.
Are the leaks we're reading about illegal, as the president said in his tweet, and what about whistleblower protections?
Right. Whistleblower protections will help a lot of folks who are charged with these things. There are some specific leaks that involve classified material, in which case there are very different and more stringent laws that deal with those. And those, possibly, people might be in danger. But again, it speaks to the discomfort level of some folks in government that we're actually seeing leaks of transcripts of the president and foreign leaders, which I'm pretty sure are not available under any type of scenario other than through, you know, the national security agencies.
I was reading the Chicago Tribune, which is reporting that White House staffers are quite fearful about being accused of talking to the media, that some have resorted to a secret chat app, Confide, that erases messages as soon as they're read. How does technology play into these leaks?
Right. Well, ever since we started getting cell phones with text messaging and then emails and so forth, I mean, it's been a whole new world than it was before you had those technological tools. These are just merely newer and less definable versions of that. Right? There's no law right now that exists talking about messages that disappear after they're read. I mean, that no one has thought that they needed rules and regulations regarding these. So we'll see where that goes in the future. Now, if you're working in the White House, all that work product is supposed to remain in an archivable form so that 30 years down the road or whenever it is, it can all be released to the public. If they're using methods that just make them disappear instantly, that could be a problem if it's internal White House work.
S.V., thank you so much for talking with us today.
It's my pleasure.
That was S.V. Datte, a senior White House correspondent for the Huffington Post. He joined us to talk about the growing number of leaks from inside the White House and what they mean for the Trump administration.